Now, as long as there's unconsciousness, the causes of unhappiness are out there, and there's always the interpretation, if only those things changed or I could change them, I would be okay. And then you're engaged in continuing fighting with what is. I'm going to change these things out there to remove the causes of my unhappiness. If your behavior changes, if I can make you to change your behavior, then I can be happy. That's the illusion. And many people reach the end of their incarnation trapped, the majority still, reach the end of their incarnation trapped in that illusion. If only things were different. Not seeing that unhappiness is embedded in the very structure of the mind. Its need, because that is an intrinsic part of its need to fight, to sustain its separate sense of me, to see within oneself the need for conflict, the need for enemies, and the need for unhappiness. You can see it in relationships, love, harmonious. If you meet a person, the first few days or weeks, sometimes even months, total harmony. And then first something arises that is very different, a completely different energy. The need returns for conflict. And the longest humans are without conflict is often when they fall in love, and that can last a few weeks off. Or if you went to live on a South Pacific island, you may be free of unhappiness for a little while. But you can be sure that the unhappiness, which is in here, not there, in the structure of the egoic mind, will find a reason for you to be unhappy, even there, in paradise. There will be something that's not right. Could be anything. Mosquitoes. Boredom. When there's, let's say, somebody could create for you an environment that has removed all causes for unhappiness, deep unhappiness would still arise out of unbearable boredom. Even to the point of suicide. You can sometimes see that with people who are born into great wealth, where all their needs or desires are immediately met, and often, I mean, they should be blissfully happy, they've got everything. And often, deep misery arises, a deep dissatisfaction with everything. So you can't get away from that. But there's a deep reaction, a revulsion to what I'm saying in the little me that says, well, he may be right. This may apply to other people, but really, I'm unhappy because I have reason to be unhappy. The others may be in delusion, but my misery is real. And so to see, to look through that is an amazing realization that you carry around within the structure of your mind unhappiness. I'm using that as a generic term. The Buddha used the term suffering. Other traditions use the term delusion or illusion, or even sin, prized as something not right. Always sin has been misinterpreted. Jesus uses it. Dukkha, as the Buddha put it, unsatisfactoriness, suffering, unhappiness. In the seeing of that, it already begins to dissolve. If that level of consciousness out of which the recognition arises is sustained, the structures of human unhappiness, which are the structures of that egoic conditioned mindset, begin to dissolve. And what then happens? It only happens if your attention moves into the now and sustains itself in the now. And so, in order for the deep conditioning to dissolve, the ego likes to make that into a problem too. It says, okay, oh my God, it must take so long to get rid of that illusion of all that unhappiness that is in my mind. How long is it going to take to get rid of all that? If it's taken 100,000 years for it to arise in humans, unhappiness is not a, suffering is not a personal problem of anybody. There's nothing personal in it. It's the human condition. If it's taken so long, will it take just as long to get out of it, another 100,000 years? And the ego says, yes, yes, it will. Give me time. That's why there's a strong attraction to cults. Every cult promises something. You are going to be very special. You are going to reach that. Or we, as a collective ego identity, that can easily happen. The little me joins with other little me's and says, us. Same illusion, slightly different form. We against the rest of the world. Some countries do that. We against the rest of the world. Religions, we, us. So sometimes the personal me becomes partly a collective me, moving out of that illusion. Now, cults give you time and promise something. And the leader usually says, if you stay with me for long enough, you can become like me. Almost, not quite. And there's an attraction because time is given. There's a spiritual longing, which is the longing to be free of all that, and the ego comes back and uses that very longing and makes more time, gives it need more time. So the illusion that a spiritual seeker can easily get trapped in, and not only in the cults, is that I need more time to become free of all that. And the amazing realization is, not only do you not need more time, time is the very illusion on which the existence of that mindset, the continuing existence and the survival of that depends. And so in a very subtle way, it will always try to get in there and, please, more time. You don't need another 100,000 years to get out of the illusion that has taken 100,000 or a million years to build up. A beautiful line in the Course in Miracles says, it has taken time to misguide you so completely, but it takes no time at all to be who you are. To be who you are means who you are in your essence underneath the mind structures, the conditioned mind structures. And the only access you have to that is through the little doorway of now. And it's only here, it's only through the power of that is inherent in the present moment, that all those mind structures dissolve. But the power of the present moment is the power of life itself, your very being. And they dissolve here and now. What arises in the now is presence, allowing this moment to be. Let's say, really, that is, here we have the key. Since the survival of those mind structures depends on enemies and fighting the present moment, which is the root of its need for enemies, when you allow this moment to be, the whole illusion collapses.